Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. For over 175 years, four purposes have defined Hillsdale's mission: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and my sincere appreciation to our brothers and sisters at Hillsdale for their great sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. You're about to learn why it does matter what happens in Ukraine, because Russia's now invading. Even the way the media, some of our friendlies, are reporting is not proper. Russia has created the pretext and has begun the invasion of eastern Ukraine. It has, in fact, mobilized and is moving its tanks and armored personnel carriers into eastern Ukraine under the pretext that there's two provinces there that Russia recognizes as independent, basically given the fact that there's a large Russian population and many of the people speak Russian, and they have removed a lot of those Russians now and are into Russia. It's right on the border. And those of you who do know history understand, actually, this is what Hitler did. This is how he started with the Sudetenland, that there were ethnic Germans and they were being abused, and he went in there to protect them. It was a matter of ethnicity, and of course, that was never his purpose any more than it's Vladimir Putin's purpose. Putin has created the unrest in these two provinces. He has funded the militia, funded them in these two provinces, and he has funded the guerrilla warfare in these two provinces, and so he creates the basis for his own actions. Now, I do notice some of our friends at Fox are, in fact, picking up on some of the things I've mentioned, and that's very important, including 1994, when the Ukraine was forced by the United States, Britain, and Russia in exchange for security protections and recognition to give up its nuclear weapons. And if you've been listening to this program over the last several months, this is a key point I've been making about the Bucharest Memorandum. And that if Ukraine had any of those nuclear warheads still, that this wouldn't be happening. Let there be a lesson on the nuclear freeze movement and so forth, and other appeasements. You've had people, friend and foe alike, on radio and TV, the neo-appeasers and the flat-out appeasers telling you that really it's our fault, that we don't want another war, that we don't want to send any troops in. Nobody said we should send troops into Ukraine. Can anybody name a single serious politician who has said so? I can't think of one. But I have a different question. What if Putin begins to roll through Ukraine and he decides to enter the Balkans? Is that still none of our business? What are we going to do then? What are we going to do then? How about the western border of Ukraine? How about Bosnia and Serbia? Let alone Eastern Europe. We're going to send in American troops then? This is why you don't allow a situation to reach this level. Now, Mark, what could we have done? We could have loaded up Ukraine, not just with defensive weaponry, but offensive weaponry. People are talking about the price that Russia will have to pay. Well, of course it'll pay a price, but it won't pay as big of a price as it should have paid to dissuade it from doing what it's begun to do. And you think it matters what's going on with Ukraine? SG in communist China, if he thinks it matters. He's got both of his eyeballs glued to this situation. Ask the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran if they think it's important what happens in Ukraine. They have their eyeballs glued to this situation too. Ask North Korea, Rocket Man, what he thinks. The world is a gravely dangerous place, much more gravely dangerous than it was before Joe Biden became president of the United States. Afghanistan was the big issue. When they saw the withdrawal, the surrender in Afghanistan, we all knew it. But it led up to Afghanistan. When he kowtowed to Russia on two other fronts, they wanted to get out of a nuclear arms deal and he let them get out of it. And then, of course, as you know, he opened that pipeline, not just to Germany, but all of Europe is now dependent on fuel from Russia. Now, how insane was that? So committed is Joe Biden to destroying the American fossil fuel industry that he shuts off our pipes and turns on theirs. It's really unbelievable. The time to move U.S. troops was to move them months ago. Not into Ukraine, but yes, into NATO nations. Into NATO nations at a bigger number in order to ensure that Putin won't move any further than he might and drag us into a world war. See, the people, the phony colonels that are cherry-picked and the other people who go on radio and TV and go on and on about Russia's sphere of influence and everything, you heard it today from Putin. You heard it today from Putin, right, Mr. Producer? Right, Mr. Callscreen? What did he say? Ukraine effectively belongs to Russia. Did he not say that? Did he not say that the leaders of Russia, the Soviet Union, let down the Russian people because they let all these countries go? Did he not effectively say that? Yes, he did. Now, we've been talking about this. You don't have to be a mind reader. You don't have to be Nostradamus to know what goes through a KGB guy's head. And when he sees the fecklessness and weakness of not just the president, the secretary of state, they're running all over the place. They go on American media, the secretary of state, the national security, and they talk to us. We're not the ones invading. And as I said 3 weeks ago on Life, Liberty, and Levin, and as I've said time and again on Levin TV, this administration has not prepared the American people for this, other than to say, we expect them to invade this day, that day, another time, and so forth and so on. But then there are the people, the third parties, surrogates from one ideology or another, who talk about, well, they said we would invade Wednesday. Look how they were wrong. What? Who cares if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if it's 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock? What's the difference? Doesn't prove anything. Stop defending Putin. Stop defending Russia. What kind of minds are these? What kind of perversion is this? Well, focus on China. They want world domination. They're the real enemy. Oh, okay. So only focus on China. Well, what do you think China's focusing on? Ukraine, they're watching now, because depending on what happens there, ladies and gentlemen, I have a little bit of news for you. It's not news on this program, actually. They're going to invade Taiwan. And Israel was just told by the Biden administration, basically, butt out. We're cutting a deal with the Iranians. Don't screw up like you did last time and side against the Obama-Biden administration. You folks need to recall, the people who are negotiating this deal with the Iranians were involved in negotiating the first deal with the Iranians. Same administration, just flipped the president. Obama, now Biden. And our ambassador to Israel just announced he'd be happy to meet with settlers, but not in Judea and Samaria. Not in the indigenous homes of the Jewish people. There he won't meet with them. Sending another message to Hamas, to Hezbollah, and to Iran. Messages being sent all wrong, all over the world. All over the world. So yes, it does matter, this invasion of Ukraine. And yes, it could spread to other countries. And as we've talked about, you and me, for years here, really. Our enemies were rooting for Biden. Enemies, foreign and domestic. They got who they wanted. The press got who they wanted. The academicians got who they wanted. The Washington establishment and bureaucrats got who they wanted. The rhinos and never-Trumpers got who they wanted. Xi, Putin, Un, and the rest got who they wanted. By hook or by crook, they got their man. The American media. Really quite disgusting. So Putin signs two decrees hours ago, recognizing these quote-unquote breakaway territories in eastern Ukraine. If Ukraine dares to defend its people and dares to defend its territory, that will be the pretext Putin uses to attack Kiev, or as they call it now, Kyiv. This is a big city, ladies and gentlemen, with millions of people. This is not a joke. And they are targeting their bombers, their fighter jets, their missiles, their 500 battle tanks, ultimately on Kiev. I'll call it Kiev. I used to call it Kiev, and I'll continue to call it Kiev. More when I return.
Mark Levin.
Folks, I have great news for you today. Hillsdale College, the college that's reaching and teaching Americans about the Constitution, is giving away free copies of this vital document, but only while supplies last. So claim your free pocket-sized Constitution right now at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. Every American should have their own copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These days, with so much of our liberty under threat, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand them. My favorite school in America, Hillsdale College, is doing something. They want to give away 1 million copies of our founding documents this year. To claim yours, go to levinforhillsdale.com right now. Tell them where you'd like your pocket Constitution mailed, and they'll send yours free. I want all my listeners to have one of Hillsdale's pocket constitutions. They're essential. Hurry, they've only produced a limited number. Reserve your copy at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. We actually have a movement in this country now, coming out of our universities. No surprise there. Trying to reverse a Trump administration policy that was aimed at targeting and has been targeting espionage against our technology and our private sector by the communist Chinese regime. And the Biden administration is now considering reversing course as a way to appease China and try and convince China to stop cheering on Russia. Now, think about this. China views us as the enemy. Russia views us as the enemy. Iran views us as the enemy. North Korea views us as the enemy. But we don't even talk in those terms. We don't view them as, hey, if you're opposed to Russia, that must mean you like China, or you can't focus on two potential enemies or adversaries at the same time. And look at Iran, you know, they're going to get the nuke deal, so we got to cut a deal with them. They're not going to follow anything. They never have, any more than the communist Chinese did with Hong Kong, any more than the Russians did with the nuke deal involving Ukraine. I mean, what is this? Any more than the North Koreans did as we continue to allow them to build and build and build. We removed our nuclear missiles from South Korea on the promise that North Korea wouldn't build nukes. Both parties. And North Korea has built nuclear missiles and South Korea has no nukes. We pressured the Ukrainians into giving up their nukes after the fall of Ukraine during the Clinton administration. I've talked about this. They gave up their nukes. Now look what's happening to Ukraine. So Ukraine doesn't have nukes. South Korea doesn't have nukes. North Korea does have nukes. A deal was cut with the Iranians that literally would help them fund terrorism, the growth of conventional weapons, excluded MIRVs, that is, intercontinental ballistic missiles, made it impossible to oversee. Bob Corker writes the law that makes it possible that Obama to get this through the Senate without a treaty. Joined by Ben Sasse and others, by the way. That's when I had it with Sasse, when he called me and started lobbing me on behalf of Bob Corker. What a puke. And then he pretends he's the principal one out there. But in any event, that's where we are. So now we're to trust them. Trust us. People say America first. Okay, let's do it. Appeasement. Sellout. That's not America first. That's America last. Pretending Russia invading Ukraine is of no consequence to the United States like J.D. Vance and others do is absurd. It's nuts. The rest of the world looks at this, particularly our enemies and our allies. Shakes up the whole Ouija board. And if Russia thinks they have a head of steam and nobody's going to stop them, that's when you have to worry about a world war. Ukraine in and of itself, no. But beyond, yes. It's really quite bizarre to hear how people respond to this. And they bring in these bizarre military men. You know, there's millions of people in this country who served in the military, but for some reason they find the same three or four who are out of their minds. And of course, this will affect you on a different note, financially and economically, because the price of fuel is going to go way up. Your pensions are going to be clearly affected by a drop in the stock market. And I go on and on and on. The weakening of the dollar, of course, it's going to affect you. And it'll give Biden the opportunity to blame the Russians and the pandemic rather than the two brain cells he tries to rub together three times a day. No question about that. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Don't worry, I'm going to get to Trudeau. Trudeau is a Marxist fascist pig. It's what he is. And any police officers who comply with this, particularly at the senior level, like this Ottawa police chief that says even if things have settled, and they have, we're going to track down people, we're going to close their bank accounts, they need to wear brown shirts in shiny, polished black boots. Because when they talk like this and act like this, that's what they remind me of. And speaking of, Putin has used essentially the argument that Hitler did to go into the Sudetenland. Well, what's the big deal? I mean, there's a lot of Germans there after all. Unbelievable. No. I guess I'm wrong. It's the neocons did it. The neocons, whatever that means. I'll be right back. Folks, I have great news for you today. Hillsdale College, the college that's reaching and teaching Americans about the Constitution, is giving away free copies of this vital document, but only while supplies last. So claim your free pocket-sized Constitution right now at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. Every American should have their own copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These days, with so much of our liberty under threat, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand them. My favorite school in America, Hillsdale College, is doing something. They want to give away 1 million copies of our founding documents this year. To claim yours, go to LevinForHillsdale.com right now. Tell them where you'd like your pocket constitution mailed, and they'll send yours free. I want all my listeners to have one of Hillsdale's pocket constitutions. They're essential. Hurry, they've only produced a limited number. Reserve your copy at LevinForHillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com.
This is where liberalism ends and liberty begins. The Mark Levin Show at 877-381-3811.
Hello, everybody. Hello. This is one reason you've got to build the United States military up under all and any circumstances. This is one reason you do not take away forward bases. This is one reason you do not withdraw from NATO. Many of you have a father or a grandfather. Some, although a rare number, have a mother or a grandmother who fought in World War II and who fought in Europe, some of whom didn't return, some of whom were terrible casualties, some of whom did return. We honor them. We finally built a monument to them. There's not many left. Those in my family who fought World War II, they're gone, including my grandfather and my great uncle, among others. They're gone. What do you think they would say? The men and women who actually spilled blood in Europe during World War II, what do you think they would say? To the isolationists in our own country, to the appeasers in our own country. Don't worry, just give up all the land to the Russians. What's the big deal? We don't have a foothold in Europe to protect us. Do you know how many men died and suffered to claw our way into Europe in order to defeat Germany? And first to defeat Italy? We have allies over there. People point to Afghanistan, as have I. We left a lot of our friends and 9,000 American citizens there. This is still sickening. It still makes you want to throw up. Take Afghanistan and multiply it by tens of thousands. Leading up to World War II, we had a similar mentality. We had the isolationists. We had the appeasers. In fact, they went as far to say, what does Europe have to do with us? Forget about Ukraine. What does Europe have to do with us? The hell do we care what happens to Britain and France and all the rest of it? So far away, can't affect us. That's when Roosevelt came up with Lend-Lease because Churchill was begging him for resources and support. So he comes up with this illegal Lend-Lease, which is really a way to try and get them some arms. Then Churchill's begging the United States, please come in the war on our side. You're going to be in this war at some point. Churchill was a genius, obviously. And geniuses aren't always right. They're quite imperfect, but he was a genius. And he said, you're going to get in on this. You're going to have no choice. They're not going to leave the great United States alone, you know. And of course, they didn't. So we wait for these countries to build up these massive military machines while we undermine ours with critical race theory and other BS. Sex operations and who the hell knows what with the fools and the phonies and the frauds who insinuate themselves in every aspect of our government, our society, and impose their will on the rest of us. But you heard Putin today. Is there any doubt in anybody's head that from his perspective, Ukraine is just one of many. One of many. And we all knew this, that he was furious with what happened to the Soviet Union. Which is why, from his perspective, he stepped into the breach in order to take over the country from what he thought were these buffoons. And he blackmailed them. And he promised not to prosecute them. He promised to keep them wealthy. which was fine by them, and he took the country over. He dislodged any major politician who was a challenge. He dislodged major politicians who were running various cities, put in his own puppets. He sent to prison these huge industrialists who picked up on our capitalist system, sent them to prison, where some of them still languish, and had others executed. He basically took over the media. Again, over 24 journalists were killed, suspiciously, of course. And he would track down his most outspoken opponents, whether they were in London or anywhere else, and he'd have them poisoned, as you well know. And we have people in this country who are Putin-files, Russophiles. Look, most of my ancestry is Russian. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. They had to get the hell out of there. They wouldn't have survived. Like most of our ancestors, who could do so voluntarily, had to get the hell out of the countries they're from, even though we romanticize them. Most of them wouldn't be here. I'm not talking about slaves who were captured and brought here. I'm talking about people who voluntarily came here. And most of us, whether we came here voluntarily or not, would not want to go back to the same circumstances, I can't imagine. But that's beside the point. You know, it's just an amazing thing to watch and to listen to the George McGovern left and the isolationist appeasement right. Remember, we're somewhere in the middle. We're constitutionalists. We're constitutional conservatives. We don't fit neatly on this right-left thing because we're not right-left. That's the ideologues. We're not ideologues. We're prudential. We do believe in principles and philosophy, but we're not ideologues. It's quite different. You can look it up. You'll know what I'm talking about. So I will be keeping both eyes, one good one, one sort of good one, on what's going on. You'll be getting my perspective, which is not the perspective of many now in the media and in the Republican Party, but it is my perspective. Perspective of one who believes in this country, who believes in the superiority of this country, who believes our United States military must be supported every step of the way, who believes that this can get out of control, Russia, China, and the others, and that putting your head in the dirt and being an ostrich ain't going to fix a damn thing when the enemy's on the move. And as I've said to you many times, they're not building hypersonic weapons for Ukraine or Taiwan or South Korea or even the Gulf states. They're building them for us to elude our defense systems, to take out our grid. They are poised with offensive military capacity to defeat us. The Chinese economy 30 years ago was considered a joke. Is about 7 to 80% of the size now of the American economy. Much of it's stolen right out of our industries. If we only had a real press in this country, if we only had a real college and university system in this country with real professors, rather than these Marxists and other reprobates, we really had a serious, strong two-party system with both parties outdueling one another for which party can best advance the cause of liberty and constitutionalism and capitalism. Instead, we have one party that has as its mission to destroy them and the other that has as its mission self-survival of the people who run it. Pretty much. We're soon going to turn to Canada, and oh, Canada. You're going to hear the words of a Justin Trudeau, a Chrystia Freeland, the deputy. You're going to hear Steve Bell, the Iowa police chief. You're going to hear people like this. You're going to hear Jim Watson, the Ottawa mayor, who wants to keep and sell the confiscated trucks and the equipment that they took from these truckers. And if this doesn't remind you of the 1930s, I'm quite serious. I don't know what does. People in jail for organizing, people in jail for speech. I hear one of my colleagues say, how do I know? Because people tell me. Well, look at all the inconvenience these people have caused. And they've created inconvenience even for people who manufacture automobiles and put them at the same people who defended the bureaucrats in our own government for shutting down one industry after another, putting millions of people out of work, millions, shuttering hundreds of thousands of businesses, especially small businesses, shutting down religious institutions, shutting down gun shops, wide open abortion clinics, who abused and politicized the virus to destroy our economy and to spend trillions of dollars instead of money that hadn't even been earned yet, turning our system upside down. They had no problem with that, but the truckers are inconveniencing people, you see. So they're taking their finances. They've nationalized their accounts. They're tracking them. It's like a social credit system in communist China being applied in Canada, but in real time, in ways that even communist China doesn't apply it. Communist China's learning from Canada. Russia's learning from Canada. Justin Trudeau. What a punk. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Folks, I have great news for you today. Hillsdale College, the college that's reaching and teaching Americans about the Constitution, is giving away free copies of this vital document, but only while supplies last. So claim your free pocket-sized Constitution right now at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. Every American should have their own copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These days, with so much of our liberty under threat, it's more critical than ever for citizens to read and understand them. My favorite school in America, Hillsdale College, is doing something. They want to give away 1 million copies of our founding documents this year. To claim yours, go to levinforhillsdale.com right now. Tell them where you'd like your pocket Constitution mailed, and they'll send yours free. I want all my listeners to have one of Hillsdale's pocket constitutions. They're essential. Hurry, they've only produced a limited number. Reserve your copy at levinforhillsdale.com. That's L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. In the midst of all this, people ask, not that most of you care, but what the hell. I have now formally shifted my residence to the state of Florida from Virginia. Now, I'm going to be going back and forth, we are, from Florida to Virginia. I'm not giving up my Virginia home. But I'll be spending more days in the year in Florida than in Virginia. I wanted to make sure I was in Virginia to vote the last time around. We have a Republican government in Virginia now, of which I am very proud. They're actually doing very solid things. And, of course, you know the situation in Florida with DeSantis, who's really, to me, the number one governor in the country. Not to offend anybody, but there you go. Give me my opinion. But, you know, I'm tired of these battles. You know, my view is, I don't mind paying taxes. God knows I pay a tremendous amount of tax. Tremendous. But I'm not going to pay it to subsidize Democrat rule over me. The degradation of my liberties. I'm just not going to do it. And we have a very remarkable system in this country. We're very lucky for now. And I say for now because there's efforts to change it. And that is, this 50-state thing is very important, which is why the Democrats are at war with it. And so that's that. A lot is going to be changing or not in the course of the next 12 months, folks, with my various media platforms. And I'm very positive. in that respect about how things are going and how they will go. But you never know. But what I do know is that you and I have a special relationship, whether it's over orange juice cans or digital TV or cable TV or books or whatever it is. You and I, our relationship will last forever. Because Rush was right. We're here for the audience. Everything else is the bureaucracy in between. And that's so true. It's so very true. You look at the situation in Canada now. And I told you, really the first to tell you, that it is now officially a totalitarian regime. People have given it other names. They can give whatever name they want. Canada is now a totalitarian regime. And it makes me sick to my stomach to watch what's happening to those truckers. And what's going to continue to happen to those truckers. This is stuff of the Stalinist mentality. It's like the January 6th committee, which is really focused on Trump and not what happened. You can see that kind of Stalinist mentality flowing into our country. It's flowing into the likes of a Kingsinger and a Cheney and that commission, so-called, or committee. You notice you haven't seen Larry Hogan, the Republican governor of Maryland who wants to be president of the United States. He's not going to be president of anything. He's not going to be president of anything. He's a pathetic joke. Spent his entire career trying to figure out how to accommodate the Democrats in an overwhelmingly Democrat state. We don't need that. As he promotes his own personality in politics. He's not spoken out one word about people who've been who've been mistreated by the prosecutors in Washington, D.C., violating their due process rights. Not a word. Nothing. So we have these elements in the Republican Party, too. Clearly the Democrat Party being the Marxist party that it is. But we have these elements within the Republican Party, too. People who embrace the American Marxist movement on the fringes. In and of it themselves, they're not part of it, but they give it aid and comfort. They breathe life into it. I mean, when you ask McConnell what he would do if he takes over the Senate and he says, you know, I want to meet the other side halfway and figure out what kind of centrist bipartisan decisions we can make. They look at him the way Putin looks at Biden. There's a sucker. We're going to roll this guy. Really quite chilling, if you think about it. Well, he spends an enormous amount of money, dark money, trying to defeat conservatives in Republican primaries, by the way. Beginning at the top of the next hour two, we're going to focus in like a laser again on Canada. We are heard throughout Canada. We have individuals in the United States who are blaming people like me, and me in particular, for what's going on in Canada. I don't know what's wrong with these clowns. Like they're listening to Mark Levin in Ottawa. No. I hope they are, but that's not what's going on. They try to personalize this like Alinsky. No, no, no. This is a bottom-up grassroots movement. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. As I say, most days I don't know what's going on in talk radio or TV land because I'm doing my own thing. But there was a piece sent to me about 2 days ago, and I wanted to check it out, make sure it was accurate, and it was, by a gentleman by the name of Daniel Dickin, contributor, community activist, author, conservative. December 12, 2014, published in something called the Prince Arthur Herald. I guess it's Canadian. And the article existed in part the other day on the Huffington Post Canada. And that closed in 2021, by the way. Oh, too bad. Anyway, so this was written. This was written six. No, this was written 7 years ago. 7 years ago. Ready? Why Canada will become a dictatorship under Trudeau. 7 years ago. The leader of that party does what he wants, when he wants, and no one dares question him. Would a Prime Minister Trudeau arbitrarily whip the vote and outlaw certain moral questions? Could Prime Minister Trudeau be trusted to make decisions for the good of the country, not just for his personal self-worth? Would Trudeau call the police to enforce his vision? Let's hope we never have the opportunity to ask those questions. Becoming clear as the days of Trudeau liberals wear on. If elected Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau would turn Canada into a dictatorship. Of course, I'm sure at the time this gentleman was dismissed as a white supremacist kook. He says, this is the man who admitted he admires China's basic dictatorship. It wasn't just a sarcastic comment. He seriously said that he admires the dictatorship because they can get things done quickly. And I would add, much like Thomas Friedman and most of the left. And it's becoming clear that Trudeau not only admires the dictatorship, he runs the Liberal Party like that too. How else can one explain the police-enforced acclamation of Andrew Leslie as the Liberal candidate for Orleans? Even with hundreds of Liberals attending the meeting to show their support for another candidate, and former Trudeau leadership rival, it was clear from the beginning that Leslie was Trudeau's hand-picked favorite and certainly wouldn't be stopped by pesky processes like democracy. Just the imagery of Trudeau's chosen candidate being selected with police intervention is scary. It shows that Trudeau doesn't just admire China's dictatorship, he would practice one if he had the chance. The nomination in Orleans is only the latest rigged open nomination, quote-unquote. Despite Trudeau's promises to actually, you know, practice democracy, at least half a dozen liberal nominations have been rigged or tampered with through the direct intervention of Trudeau's office. Mysteriously disqualifying candidates, changing nomination dates, paperwork going missing, using dirty backroom politics, all to ensure the leader's candidate is chosen at any cost. But those are only Liberal candidates. Surely Trudeau would loosen his grip on his caucus colleagues once they've been elected, wouldn't he? Unfortunately, no. The Liberal caucus randomly learned one morning early last year that their leader had come up with a new dictate that all Liberals would be expected, now required, to vote pro-choice. Period. When Trudeau's pathetic attempted defense that they were the party of the charter, obviously missing those small sections about freedom of conscience and religion, agitated more than a few Liberal MPs, he attempted to invent some weird grandfathering rule. But then he abandoned that too. The result is that Liberal MPs who dare question that dictate are being punished. Those who dare disagree have already been punished, resigned, or indicated they won't seek another term in office, at least not under the iron fist of Justin Trudeau. Liberals who were unilaterally expected by Trudeau without the slightest consultation with the Senate leadership to comply. The Liberal Party under Justin Trudeau has become a dictatorship. The leader of that party does what he wants when he wants. Now that we know that Trudeau runs his party like a dictatorship, we must ask ourselves, is there any indication he wouldn't do the same as the leader of Canada? Would a Prime Minister Trudeau arbitrarily whip the vote and outlaw certain moral questions? And it goes on. Let's hope we never have the opportunity to ask those questions. Well, here's the answer. Cut one, Mr. Producer. Justin Trudeau at a press conference today. Go.
As I said, the Emergencies Act is not something to undertake lightly. And it's something that needs to be momentary, temporary, and proportional. That's why every single day I'm receiving briefings and we are reflecting on how much longer the Emergencies Act needs to be in place. We don't want to keep it in place a single day longer than necessary. But even though the blockades are lifted across border openings right now, even though things seem to be resolving very well in Ottawa, this state of emergency is not over. There continues to be real concerns about the coming days, but we will continue to evaluate every single day whether or not it is time and we are able to lift this state of emergency.
The soft voice with the iron fist. State of emergency. Laws put in place after Al-Qaeda attacked the United States. Now used against truckers, their families, their bank accounts, their dogs. The deputy prime minister to Canada, obviously a sycophant to Trudeau, Chrystia Freeland. Cut to go.
The RCMP has given to the
RCMP
the
is this Canadian-run financial centralized institution. So she says they give into the financial institutions names of leaders and organizations of the protests. Go ahead.
Institutions, names of leaders and organizers of the protests, and of people whose trucks were part of occupations and blockades. That is the only information, according to the RCMP, that the RCMP has given to financial institutions.
Look, we've only given names, serial numbers, license plates, bank account numbers, all the rest. That's all. What's the problem? Go ahead.
I think it's also really important for everyone to be clear, and this speaks to the getting our facts straight point, that these measures applied only as of the 15th of February. That is when financial support of these illegal blockades and occupations began to be sanctioned. And then finally, let me say...
By the way, that makes it better for people who have their life savings in their bank accounts and have to pay a mortgage or have to pay a monthly fee for their automobiles or whatever. Don't worry, we've only frozen them since February 15th. Go ahead.
For anyone who is concerned that their accounts may have been frozen because of their participation in these illegal blockades and occupation.
Notice how they say illegal blockades and occupation. People who were involved in the protests. That's just what the prime minister, the protests. They are going to be affected too. Go ahead.
To get your account unfrozen is to stop being part of the blockade and occupation.
Wait a minute. Trudeau just said even though the blockades are lifted. You see how this stuff turns so crazy so fast, folks? Go ahead.
These measures were put in place to disrupt illegal activity in Canada.
You know, when Martin Luther King conducted march after march after march in one segregated city and state after another, he was not technically but literally violating state law. When Rosa Parks refused to move from the back of the bus, she was literally violating local law. Literally violating local law. When some of you parents decide that your children shouldn't wear masks when they go in the school because the science doesn't justify it, you could literally be violating a school board regulation. And you see how trigger happy the Biden administration was to yank in the Department of Justice in that ruse, Civil Rights Division, Criminal Division, FBI, U.S. Attorney's Office, National Security Unit, and the Domestic Terrorist Hotline. Imagine. All those white supremacist framers of the Constitution. We should thank God for their Constitution, shouldn't we? But Chrystia Freeland wasn't done. Cut three, go.
In terms of the financial instruments.
Notice how softly and earnestly they come in. Now, we've looked at this, and people who have violated the law, if you want your accounts back, stop protesting. That's all. Comply. Uniformity. Do what you're told. That's all. Get vaccinated. Do exactly what we tell you and do it how we tell you and when you do it. You'll get your money back. That's all. What's the problem? Go ahead.
Which our government is using right now to act against these illegal blockades and illegal occupation. We reviewed very...
What illegal occupation is there? This what next? They're going to be called insurrectionists? Oh, that's coming, I guarantee it. In fact, they started off with that, but now they think that occupation is better. They're illegally occupying. No, they're not. They're protesting. We know what an illegal occupation is. We saw it in Seattle and how much that was tolerated. Remember that? Go ahead.
Be carefully the tools at the disposal of the federal government. And we used all the tools that we had prior to the invocation of the Emergencies Act, and we determined that we needed some additional tools. Now, some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place. The authorities of FinTrack, I believe, do need to be expanded to cover crowdsourcing platforms.
Listen to this. They're expanding the emergency rules even though the occupation is actually over. We can't have crowdfunding a protest, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly not unless it's Black Lives Matter. And we don't even know where their money went or the leaders went. Go ahead.
A payment platform and their payment providers. So that is something that we need to do and we will do, and that needs to be in place permanently. Some of these other tools, like the sharing of information between law enforcement and financial services, and the requirement of financial services to be reviewing their accounts proactively, and the immunity from prosecution.
Reviewing their accounts proactively. That means endlessly monitoring bank accounts. Go ahead.
That we have provided to them in doing this. These are extraordinary measures, measures that we absolutely believe are necessary in the current circumstances that are having an impact. And let me also point out, having a peaceful impact. And the other aspect
we have
of
the peaceful people. North Korea's prisons and rice fields, such as they are filled with peaceful people. Acquiescent people. Acquiescent people. You know, we like to talk about red-blooded Americans who will speak up, debate, argue, protest, assemble. And that's protected under our Bill of Rights. Here, they have no Bill of Rights. So people are peaceful now. You don't hear them beeping horns. You don't hear them gathering, protesting, inconveniencing their fellow citizens. No. Only we get to do that. You must remember what you're hearing, because this is the beginning of the end of Canada, and worse. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
All right, here's the deal. I've been telling you for a couple years now to switch to Pure Talk, and thousands of you have. Let's hear from one of those happy customers. Here's a note from Robert of Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. I was a 20-year customer of Verizon that needed to upgrade my iPhone 7. I checked my Verizon deals and even spoke with a rep, but wasn't impressed with the offers they were giving, especially being a 20-year customer. I heard about Pure Talk on the Mark Levin Show and checked it out. I was really happy with the deal I found, but still nervous about going to a new carrier. Ultimately, I kicked Verizon to the curb and couldn't be happier with Pure Talk service. I saved $300 on my new phone, got 15 gigs more a month on my plan that costs less. I personally couldn't be happier since switching to Pure Talk. Well, friends, stop being scared. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Mark Levin, and this month you'll save an additional 25% for your first 3 months. Or just go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Mark Levin and save today. All right, Steve Bell, Ottawa Police Chief, he's asked, are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What's your plans after this, after the protest is over? Now listen to this. I have to read it because our audio is dead somehow. Here's the Ottawa Police Chief. It's a great question, and the simple answer is yes. If you are involved, go ahead and play it.
Are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What are your plans after this, after the protest is over?
Thank you. It's a great question. And the simple answer is yes. If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges. Absolutely. This investigation will go on for months to come. It has many, many different streams, both from a federal financial level, from a provincial licensing level, from a criminal code level, from a municipal...
This guy needs a special uniform and a special salute and... This is sick. This man is sick. Go ahead. Or is our audio system dead, Steve? Just say it's dead, Mark. Yeah. Okay. Forget the audio system. Threat in the river. Says from municipal breach of court order, breach at court injunction level, it will be a complicated, time-consuming event. They intend to go on and on and on with this. They're going to... Maybe they'll use some of the people advising the January 6th committee in the Capitol building. You never know. All right, I want to apologize for the last 3 minutes. I don't know what happened technically. All of a sudden, the audio went out, which is really a first for me over 20 years, but it does happen, I suppose. I want to apologize about that. When we do come back, we will have a guest, James Garofano of the Heritage Foundation, filled with neocons, no doubt. But I want his take. He's a very sharp guy. On Russia, what Putin is up to, what China's up to, and the whole kit and caboodle. Without audio, we will be right back. Inflation under our current administration is at 40-year highs. Everything's more expensive. Cars, gas, groceries, housing, cost of living increases are bankrupting Americans, which is why you need to find areas in your life where you can actually save money. And your wireless bill is one of them. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile all overcharge you for the same service you could be getting from Pure Talk at a fraction of the cost. That's why I'm a customer and why you should be one too. And listen to this. The more lines you have, the more you save. Right now, you can get 4 lines, talk, text, and data for just $64. That's not per line. That's total, which is how the average family is saving over $800 a year. Find out how much you can save. So do this. Go to puretalk.com. Find the plan that's right for you. Find the phone that's right for you. Or just bring your own. Then, this month only, enter promo code LEVINPODCAST, and you'll save an additional 25% off your first 3 months. That's puretalk.com, promo code LEVIN, L-E-V-I-N, podcast.
Mark Levin, America's tyranny hunter. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
James Garofano has been around a while. The Heritage Foundation keeps an eye on all things foreign. James, how are you, sir?
Hey, great to be with you. I'm actually in Hungary, in Budapest. So I have about as close as you can get to the war without seeing it.
Well, tell everybody where that is in relation to Ukraine, because some people may not understand it.
So Hungary and Poland and Ukraine, I mean, these are countries that are, you know, not very far apart. And so when...
In fact, they're very close to the border on the western side.
Yeah, and, you know, so for example, today, there aren't any American troops in Hungary because Hungary doesn't really need them. It's actually not in the line of sight. But there are American troops in Poland. When the Russians walk in, those Americans will be 4 miles away from the Russians.
Mm-hmm. You know, I keep hearing people say, why do we care? You know, we got to care about our own border. Can we care about our border and the NATO system that we constructed after World War II to protect us? There's a big reason that we care about this, right? It can spread beyond Ukraine. The slaughter that will occur in that country, they're an ally. The fact that Xi is looking, the regime in Tehran's looking. I mean, this has a lot of impact on our country, doesn't it?
Well, there are two things here that really kind of impact every community. And actually, our southern border and Ukraine go hand in hand. I mean, it's not just they looked around, they saw all the Obama people, they know they're weak. Putin looks around, he sees Afghanistan, he knows he's weak. You know, he looks at what Biden is doing on our own southern border, leaving it completely undefended. And he says, here's a guy that won't even defend his own borders. Why can I not risk aggression here? So I think these issues are actually tied together. And the point about China that you made is a lot of people say, well, then if this happens, he'll do something in Taiwan. And he may, but that's not the point is. It's not it for us. I mean, I understand there's 44 million Ukrainian lives at risk here, but it's not about the Ukraine for Putin. It doesn't end with the Ukraine. He wants to reabsorb all the post-Soviet states. He wants dictatorial control over Central Europe. He wants NATO to collapse. He wants America to leave and be isolated. Who else wants that? That's exactly what Xi wants. Nobody wants a divided and weakened Europe more than China. Nobody wants America alone and isolated in the world more than China. So the reality is Vladimir Putin today is doing China's dirty work for it. And we ought to care about that because the target is on our back. The target is us. It's not Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But I also think that the aggressiveness that's occurring now is also because of the fecklessness in the Oval Office, not just the southern border. They don't think Biden's really going to do a hell of a lot. And I worry. I worry, James. What if they do cut through Ukraine and they say, wow, there's the Balkans over there. Let's dip our toe in there. What is Biden going to do? I don't think he's going to do much. He's now bending over backwards for the Iranians. It's unbelievable to even watch this.
So they're actually already stirring up issues in the Balkans. And the problem...
All right, let's slow down there a second. Tell everybody they're stirring up in the Balkans. Tell us what you mean by that. That's a big statement.
Yeah, so Putin has these little packets all over Europe, like little landmines. So he's occupied part of Moldova, he's occupied part of Georgia, he's occupied part of Ukraine. And he has his fingers in the conflict in the Balkans between Serbia and Kosovo and in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where the Russians have dramatic influence. He can push any one of those buttons anytime he wants. And they were all strategically built for the same reason, to give Putin the ability to push into and destabilize Europe whenever he saw fit. This is not a secret. Matter of fact, Donald Trump knew this. There's a reason why he sent Rich Grenell into the Balkans. There's a reason why he gave javelins to the Ukrainians. There's a reason why he engaged with the Georgians. There's a reason why nothing happened in the 4 years on Donald Trump's watch. Trump made it very clear he would not stand for this, and Putin never even tried.
Which, conversely, you seem to be saying is that Biden did the opposite. He didn't make it clear, or he appeased. Which is it?
Well, so there's two problems here. One is not just Biden himself, who's got this long track record of never making a good foreign policy decision, you know, maybe not being at the top of his game, but he's surrounded himself with Obama people. And the White House is running foreign policy today exactly the way it did for 8 years under Obama. It's literally like Putin went into the Super Bowl And the other side gave them the playbook before their game and let them listen in on the sidelines while they're talking about what play they're going to call. So he knows exactly what Biden is going to do, and he's been very predictable. He didn't want to get involved at all. They came into office, much like Obama. He just wanted to park Europe. He didn't want to forget about it. Matter of fact, Biden officials were going around telling people in the United States and Europe that if anything happened in Ukraine, that was Europe's problem. We didn't care. And honestly, the only reason why he is doing anything at all is because he got hammered in Afghanistan and he couldn't look weak again. But his approach is classic Obama, which is try to ignore the problem, hope it goes away. And then if it doesn't, very incrementally do things to try to make it stop. It's incredibly risk averse. It's incredibly weak. But what it does, and look, I was in the military for 25 years. When you were fighting an enemy, the one thing you always wanted to do is make him react to you, not the other way around. Not wait for the enemy to do something and decide how to respond to that. And if you go back and do the timeline of this, every step of the way in this crisis, Biden has waited for Putin to do something, and then he's tried to do the minimum in response to that to get Biden to stop. That's exactly why we are where we are.
And say he decides to move into one of these other countries or destabilize, as you talk about, in the Balkans. Are we even positioned to do anything in a significant way? I mean, he's going to have 200,000 troops in the neighborhood, you know?
Well, this gets, I think, to the point is regardless of what happens in Ukraine, this isn't the end of it. He will go on to do something else. And so the question is, how do you stop Putin? And the answer is actually pretty easy. There's only two things that Putin has. He's got a big military, and he sells people out of energy. So if NATO had strong conventional and strategic deterrence, that checkmates the military, and if America was energy independent and Europe had sensible energy policies that were focused on giving them abundant, reliable, affordable energy, Putin would be a joke because he would be completely checkmated. And I would argue that we don't have enough defense capability, and that Biden coming in and actually putting in a defense budget that didn't even cover inflation, that even the Democrats in the Congress were embarrassed to endorse. That was a statement of weakness. But even under Donald Trump, who only had 4 years to really rebuild our military, because he demonstrated both the perseverance and the will and the willingness to use force, Putin never even tried. You know, there's a very famous story, which I'm pretty sure is absolutely true. You know, in Syria, some Russian militaries went after a U.S. base. And Trump just basically said, well, take them out. And the Americans just went, and they just wiped these guys off the face of the earth. And Putin looked at that, and he said, okay, we're not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. Putin knew that Trump was serious. He knows that Biden is not, that he is risk averse. He will never move faster than the allies, and the allies are very reluctant to move at all. You know, in the end, we might actually have more NATO solidarity than we started, but nobody should be proud of that. Nobody should be proud of the price of getting people to wake up to the threat of Russia and China in the world is sacrificing 44 million Ukrainians after we've already sacrificed the hungered Uyghurs in China and the whole entire population of Hong Kong and Taiwan. Look, nobody's saying we have to fight World War III with these people. We have to learn a lesson from Donald Trump, which is when we stand up and say we will protect ourselves, the other guys will respect that. But if we don't do that, they're going to do exactly what happened in Afghanistan, exactly what happened in Hong Kong, exactly what's happening today in the Ukraine, and then they'll move on to the next one. You know, somebody once went to one of these Russian guys, the genius ideological guys, and they said, what do you want? This is a true story. And the guy said, we want Russia's space. We are entitled to Russia's space. And the guy said, well, where does that end? And the guy said, when you stop us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's interesting? You use that phrase, and I heard one of these colonels use that phrase. You know, this colonel. Basically use that space. We don't respect Russia's space. That's what the guy said. And I thought to myself, they're about to invade Ukraine. What do you mean Russia's space? And by the way, Putin kind of underscored your points earlier today in his rather odd speech from his desk, in which he was saying that he regrets the fall of the Soviet Union. I thought he was basically saying, we have a right to everything that used to be ours. I thought that's what I heard him say in so many words.
And more. Yeah. Because most of Central Europe never belonged to the Russian Empire. The Soviets just took it after World War II. But, you know, I'll tell you something. I love all my conservative friends, and the thing I love about us is we argue and we debate, and we all care about this country, and we all care about our vital interests, and we debate about how the best way to do that. But many of my friends are saying, you know what, we love Central Europe, right? We love the Poles. They care about families. They care about religion. We love Hungarian. We love the Hungarians. The Hungarians are our favorite European country. They're so American. They don't like this gender nonsense, and they want to educate their families, and they want people to go to work. I mean, they could work for Ronald Reagan, and then our friends say around and say, but we don't care about Ukraine. Well, you know what? Poland cares about Ukraine. Hungary cares about Ukraine.
Absolutely.
They don't want to see Ukraine invaded, and they know that they're next on the agenda. So if we really do care about the conservatives in Eastern Europe and in Central Europe who really are our brothers, we ought to be worried because their future is on the line here. And I got to tell you, there's nobody here. And you know Hungarians, look, they've been living with the Russians forever. They don't like the Russians, but they live with them, work with them because they're neighbors. No, I haven't met one Hungarian yet who sees what's going on against Ukraine as justified and doesn't see it as the next step into imperiling their future that they worked so hard for decades to build an economy, to build employment, to build families. They don't want to see that go into ash, and they know what the Russians do. The Russians have visited them before, and it never ends well.
Very, very well said. All right. Well, thank you very much, James, and you take care of yourself. That was very useful to us. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
All right. He is good. Is he not, Mr. Producer? Superb. We're glad to have him. James Carafano, Heritage Foundation, filled with neocons. Actually, it's not. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
All right, here's the deal. I've been telling you for a couple years now to switch to Pure Talk, and thousands of you have. Let's hear from one of those happy customers. Here's a note from Robert of Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. I was a 20-year customer of Verizon that needed to upgrade my iPhone 7. I checked my Verizon deals and even spoke with a rep, but wasn't impressed with the offers they were giving, especially being a 20-year customer. I heard about Pure Talk on the Mark Levin Show and checked it out. I was really happy with the deal I found, but still nervous about going to a new carrier. Ultimately, I kicked Verizon to the curb and couldn't be happier with Pure Talk service. I saved $300 on my new phone, got 15 gigs more a month on my plan that costs less. I personally couldn't be happier since switching to Pure Talk. Well, friends, stop being scared. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Mark Levin, and this month you'll save an additional 25% for your first 3 months. Or just go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Mark Levin and save today. Well, he was great. It was good to have Jim on with us. And really a very, very important perspective, I think. And he always does. 870-KRLA, The Answer, where we are live and national. Julie? Did you say Julie? Sounds like my wife's name. In fact, it is. Julie, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Mark. I always have to thank you for the service you give to America and to our world. It's just so important that you, what you're doing.
Well, you're very sweet.
I have two comments. Just from listening to you, you've taught me, also I thought of one, the reasons it is important to protect Ukraine. The first one is just humanitarian reasons. Imagine if you woke up one day and it was your town or city, mm-hmm. all of a sudden completely bombed and shelled, and you couldn't go to work, and you couldn't buy food at the market, and you had no place to live, and you couldn't get water. I mean, just imagine if it were your town, and your big brother, who had the capacity to help you, just stood by and didn't do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. we have the ability, and just for compassionate, humane reasons, we ought to help protect the Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is for strategic reasons. Keep in mind that America is the number one goal, the number one target.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. No, and is there really any question? Listen to the way they talk about us and so forth. But, I mean, if they roll, they already took Crimea. They already took a chunk of Georgia. They already had fomented this revolution in the most eastern part of Ukraine. They're targeting Kiev, which is a major metropolitan city in Europe. It's one of the big ones. The nation has, I think, 40, 50 million people in it, Ukraine. And the things that Putin said today, that it's never really a nation, and this country and other countries really shouldn't have been broken off from the Soviet, he's just told us what he wants to do. Now, the idea that, well, this is not our problem. What are you talking about? We had two world wars over there. And you want to try and prevent the third one. And twice, whether it was Democrats or Republicans, under two different administrations initially, they tried to avoid war by doing exactly this, which was appeasement and pacifism and on and on and on. That doesn't mean you have to send troops, but you have to be forward-looking. You have to be somewhat offensive in what you're doing. You can't just sit back and expect an enemy, including an evil enemy, just to stop. They're not going to do that. Thank you for your call, my friend. We'll be right back. You know, I recently learned about Fast-Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants. They have everything you could want, fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and much more. My wife and I take pride in our home, and that includes having a landscape that brings us serenity. And you, too, can find the perfect fit for your home based on your climate and space. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com. Use code LEVIN, L-E-V-I-N, at checkout. Get an additional 15% off your first purchase from their already very low prices. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And they offer a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee with free plant consultation forever. Right now, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And again, my listeners get an additional 15% off on their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code L-E-V-I-N. Now, the offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit fastgrowingtrees.com for details.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. Maybe we can get something going here. I want to strongly encourage you not to vacation in Canada. I want to strongly discourage you that when you take a flight that goes through Canada, take a different flight. Take a different flight. Sort of a low-level boycott, if you will. I'm only one talk show host. It's a big country, America. But I'm telling you, when you make decisions, you need to avoid the so-called People's Republic of Canada. If you can avoid it, avoid it. They are brutalizing these truckers. They are brutalizing their families. They're conducting themselves like thugs. You say, what can we do? We can do that. No trips to Canada. No investments in Canada. No stop-offs in Canada. I would discourage American truckers from driving their trucks in Canada. If you're your own trucker, that is, you have your own rig, and you can avoid taking a job that takes you into or through Canada, then avoid it. If they're going to do this to their own citizens, imagine what they will do to you in Canada if they think you're out of line. I'm telling you seriously. While our own State Department won't issue guidance, I'll issue guidance. Stay the hell out of Canada, the totalitarian state of Canada. It's not what you think it is. All the backbenchers on TV and radio are listening. You listen to them tomorrow. You watch. But that said, my 14.5 million listeners, whether it's this massive podcast, massive terrestrial radio, massive satellite radio, online streaming, iHeart app, Mark Levin app, I don't care. I don't know how you're hearing me. And that's for the whole world, people listening to us in other parts of the world as well. And so, again, I want to encourage you to conduct no commerce in Canada. Now, you might say, well, you know, I have to fly to Canada in order to fly. So, okay, inconvenience yourself a little bit. This edict has already gone out to my family. I can tell you that. I'll give you an example. A lot of the flights from the United States to Israel, they go through Toronto. We will never take that flight again. Ever. Ever. When you look at products that you purchase, particularly dairy products, if you can discern where they're from, and if they're from Canada, and I'm sorry, Canada, we're trying to help you. We're trying to join it. Don't buy them. Don't buy them. No, we're not seeking to punish the people of Canada. We're seeking to join arms with the people of Canada. We must stand up to these tyrannical governments. That's our neighbor to the north. Those truckers are our friends. They're our friends, and they're being brutalized. Now, you heard what this guy Jim Watson said, the Ottawa mayor. They're going to track people down after it's all over and destroy them, criminally prosecute them. This mayor. Actually, we didn't play the mayor yet, did we, Mr. Producer? So they're going to track down the truckers, prosecute the truckers, take their money from the truckers, monitor the truckers like the communists do in China with their social credit. That's what we might as well call it. Backbenchers, use that one too. And now the Ottawa mayor, Jim Watson. Cut five, go.
You've hurt our small business community, and this is costing a small fortune for the taxpayers.
Actually, you hurt the small business community with your masks and this and that and the rest of it. All you had to do is drop the vaccine mandate. Nobody else has a vaccine mandate anymore. Our court struck almost all of them down after Featherbrain was pushing them illegally and unconstitutionally through OSHA. Go ahead.
Ottawa. And that's one of the reasons why, under the Emergency Act, I've asked our solicitor, our city manager, how can we keep the tow trucks and the campers and the vans and everything else that we've confiscated and sell those pieces of equipment to help recoup some of the costs that our taxpayers are absorbing.
All right, this guy is a Class A fascist. They steal your property because you protest. They're going to sell it and keep your money. The federal government there is going to take your bank accounts. The chief of police there is going to track you down and criminally charge you. Do you know why countries do this to their own people when they don't have the guts? They don't have the guts to do it to real enemies because it's easy to do. It's easy to do because half the country or more are passive. They're willing to go along, and that's always the case. Whether it's the American Revolution on one end and the Third Reich on the other end. It's true. This is the mayor. Go ahead.
So that's one of the provisions of the Emergency Act. And we have been a beneficiary of the Emergency Act. As they debated on the Hill, I asked the members of Parliament to consider. It's helped us a lot on things like confiscating.
It's helped us a lot to apply what is a terrorist law against our citizens. Marxism, this centralization, I've told you before, it's the dehumanizing of the individual. If you're standing up, if you're a truck driver, whatever you are, nurse, police officer, and you say no to this stuff, If you're a parent, taxpayer, you say no to the indoctrination, you're in the way. You're not a human being anymore. You're a problem. And we cannot reach our goals. We cannot do what we want to do. We cannot impose our will as long as you, this selfish, piggish, supremacist individual, is standing in the way. Like Trump supporters, you know. They got to be beaten down and pushed out of the way. We need to have commissions and committees to investigate them. We need to have laws to punish them. We need to have jails to put them in pre-trial. We can't have trespassing and parading on government property. Not by them. No. Them. You know, them over there. Do you realize how courageous and patriotic and heroic these truckers are? After all they've done for the people of Canada? Go ahead.
Not having to swear in peace officers to the RCMP. And so many other things that have been very helpful over the course of this period, including you can't be under 18 and be in this rally.
Wow. I didn't even know about that one. Did you, Mr. Producer? If you're under 18, you can't be in a rally? Wow. If you're under 18, you can't be in the rally? God, we wouldn't have any rallies if that were the case, would we? What do you young people think of that one? Well, leave it to a Romanian member of Parliament, Kristen Tertius, in Brussels last week, to speak the truth when nobody in the Biden administration will say, because the Biden administration looks at what's going on in Canada with great envy. The media in America look at what's going on in Canada with great envy. Cut six, go.
And with the Prime Minister of Canada, the way he's behaving right now, he's exactly like a tyrant, like a dictator. He's like Ceausescu in Romania. If even you doubt, if you raise doubts about the vaccines, you're outcasted. What's the difference between what he does and what happened under the Inquisition? See, on one side they say, well, we should not believe in God, but on the other side they say, believe in science. We don't have to. Science is not about belief. Science is about measurements, conclusions, hypotheses, and arguments. We got to a point right now where even if you say something, if you raise any doubts, you're already considered, you know, as whatever, you know, they label you in very different ways. This is not okay. And I have to tell you, you know, that when I saw the protest in Canada, you know, the way the truckers over there reacted, you know, I got in touch with some of them, others contacted me, I congratulated them, and I want to use this opportunity to thank them, and I hope this movement for freedom and for rights is spreading all around the world, because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that all these elected officials, they understand that they were elected in those offices to work for the people, not to behave like masters of slaves.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. It's a gentleman from Romania, because they experienced Ceausescu. They experienced communism. When I wrote this book, American Marxism, it really hit a chord. I was asked to take it off of the studio backdrop on the Fox show, and you won't see it there. You will see the book on my desk. You'll see the binder. But we're going to keep talking about it and talking about it and talking. I don't care if it's been out 8, 9, 10 months. That's not the point. I'm not hawking the book. Have I been hawking the book, Mr. Producer? No. I am hawking the message. Nobody's going to silence the message because we know what's going on now. You know what's going on because you've read it. Period. So what I mean, all these different platforms out there, I like the fact that they're multiplying. I love the fact that there's a Fox, a Newsmax, an OAN, and others to come. I love all the digital platforms that are out there, our wonderful Blaze Media. You've got all the other wonderful platforms out there, the Daily Wire, the Daily Caller, so many others, Breitbart, of course, who can forget, and so forth. And there are others. I can't sit here and read them all. This is very, very important. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know we're relying on Russia as an intermediary to negotiate with the regime in Iran on this nuclear deal? Just thought you'd want to know. One of our old buddies is here, not by age, but by attendance record. Matt Schlapp, who's the big muckety-muck baby doc of the CPAC, and he resuscitated that. And he's also have a fantastic book coming out tomorrow, The Desecrators. Defeating the cancel culture mob and reclaiming our nation under God. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Mark, thanks for having me on.
All right, well, jump in with both feet and tell America why your book is fantastic, which it is, by the way.
Well, as you know, it's sometimes weird to be self-promoting, but let me give it a shot here. Deal Hudson, my co-author, came to see me at CPAC, and he said, Matt, you've had this tough couple of years where your wife is on an execution list, you're both are told you can't be hired anywhere because the thugs associated with these leftist organizations are trying to destroy the lives of anybody who supported Trump, anybody who stands for conservative values. And I kind of thought about it, and I'd watched what had happened to the country with all those riots. I mean, you know this, where they were burning cities to the ground, and you couldn't even recognize Washington, D.C. And it made me mad. It made me angry. And then it made me angry when we were going through it personally, and I decided that I would stay up. You've done this late at night, pour my heart and soul out onto my laptop, and I think what we have is a very short wake-up call for Americans to get back to saving their country immediately while there's still time. I don't think there's that much time left if we don't do it now.
I agree 100%. Now, how do you want them to wake up? What is it that you suggest?
Well, a couple of things. What I experienced, Mark, is that most of the people, when I walked around, gave speeches, or were in an airport, I had all these people that come in and whisper in my ear and say, oh, God, I love Trump. I love you. I love your wife. I love what you're doing. And it was always this whispering in train stations. And, you know, I'm buying newspapers, and they're whispering in my ear. And I finally realized
it's a good way to get the flu and the virus when people keep whispering in your ear.
But, yeah. True. Well, yeah, I didn't know what was happening at first, but what I realized is that anybody who loves America and loves our founding and stands for these values is very scared to voice those opinions because they know what's going to happen to them. And what I remember standing in someone's store buying some Christmas decorations, and the owner started doing this, and she was whispering to me, and she brought over her employees, and we're all in this little huddle. We're all whispering, and I said, why are we whispering? And I just had this revelation, which is like, my God, this is our problem. You know, the Gallup and the Pew polls, Mark, have for about 25 years demonstrated that conservatives are the largest bloc. You know, it's a minority, but the largest bloc of voters in America. Why don't we act like it? We got to start acting like it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, when you look up north, some of that's already in America. You know, when you look at what took place during the guts of the pandemic, the shutting down of churches and synagogues, the opening, the remaining opening of abortion clinics, shutting down gun shops. In other words, the politicization of the application of these various rules and laws against various businesses and people. In certain states, people were treated like dogs. In other states, people were treated like mature human beings and so forth. We've had a taste of this, haven't we? But not like they have in Canada, thank God for our Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I just didn't think I'd ever be alive to see in America to have our churches open or closed on the dictates of the government. And for those of us who had our kids in religiously affiliated schools, the same thing happened. And I think too many of our religious leaders are too polite, and they felt like we're rule followers. And they felt like they should follow the rules, and they thought that they were doing it for a good purpose, to help people's health. But I think what we saw through all this was just the desire to control. And let me tell you, for the kids that have been going through this, and then to have the parents being called domestic terrorists in the Commonwealth of Virginia is really rough. You know, we have a 10-year-old, and she's trying to learn how to speak, and she has some challenges, probably because she has my genes. And, you know, and when you're in a mask, you're depriving that kid of ability to have the socialization and the speech skills they need. And we'll only know the devastation of all of these policies decades later, and it's a shame.
And also, Matt, you know, I've been thinking about this carbon dioxide issue. You know, climate change, the core problem they say is carbon dioxide because of fossil fuels and so forth. And I've explained carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It's a tiny, tiny percentage of the atmosphere. But that said, what are people inhaling when they're wearing masks?
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide.
No, this is exactly right.
Their own carbon dioxide on amounts that they would never inhale it anywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, is there a doctor in America who's going to explain this to me? Because I don't get it.
Yeah, there are two things. I remember watching MASH when I was a kid, and you remembered when the surgeons had to scrub up and disinfect their hands, they couldn't touch anything. And when their masks were on, they couldn't touch those masks. You know, I think our government doctors need to go back and watch some episodes of television and learn some science.
All right, my brother, we're going to hold you over if we might. I want to jump further into the book. The book is by Matt Schlapp. It's called The Desecrators, Defeating the Cancel Culture Mob and Reclaiming One Nation Under God. You can get it on Amazon as I speak.
You can call us now at 877-381-3811. And the liberal contact number is 877-381-3811.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Schlapp and a little band of conservatives saved the Conservative Political Action Committee. I know I had washed my hands of it. Then he and Daniel Schneider met with me at a Panera. Remember this, Matt?
Oh, my God, yes.
And said, I said, I'm not coming anymore. In fact, I'm denouncing this place. No, don't. Give us a shot. And I said, okay. And look what you've done. You've done a brilliant job, seriously, breathing life into the organization. You've been taken over by rhinos, and today we could call them never-Trumper types. And a real shot in the arm. So you guys deserve all the credit in the world. That's coming up. You can talk about that briefly, and then I want to jump back into your book. When is CPAC?
CPAC is starting this Thursday. In Orlando, Florida, we got canceled by Governor Larry Hogan in Maryland, and we decided we'd go find a conservative diaspora. We got to Florida. We did it last year, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to do another one in Dallas in August. If folks want to go, there's really not too many tickets left, but go to conservative.org, get your tickets, and let's take back our country.
And let's be honest, my wife sold the place out. No, I'm just messing around. Anyway,
awesome. You guys, you got to let me say, you guys are going to be there on Saturday,
yeah.
Which we always love. It's the Julie Levin kind of interviewing you and also kind of correcting you all at the same time.
She's the best. No, I honestly, I'm the foil. She's the star. anyway, this very important book, The Desecrators. Tell us more about the book so people will step up and grab it off Amazon tonight, because it comes out tomorrow.
Comes out tomorrow, and look, it just tells the story of what's going on in America today. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how much you think that you can sway things, when these desecrators come after you, there's if everyone is cowering, there's little we can do. And why didn't we call it cancel culture, or this whole idea of cancel, which is what we thought we'd write the book on, Mark. But what we realized is that there is a diabolical, coordinated attack on everything in society that's good, that's holy, that's transcendent. everything about America, America's founding, America's heroes, heroes of our faith, heroes of the Bible, everything having to do with the state of Israel or the Christian church. It's a coordinated attack on all of that at the same time. And that's why so many millions of Americans feel overwhelmed. Everywhere they turn around, these desecrators are there. And the book names who they are. And the book talks about strategies to defeat them. But the biggest thing we have to do is get out of our stupor. The left-wing media tells us that we are a niche minority of hateful people. And we don't realize the numbers we have. And I think that's why, whether it's the school board in San Francisco or the elections where we swept everything in Virginia or what happened in Seattle or Minneapolis on these school boards or my hometown in Wichita, Kansas, what's happening is the American people are finally waking up. It's the last hour, but my God, they are waking up.
And, you know, we have a lot at stake. You have five daughters. We have four kids total and two grandkids. And you do wonder, don't you wonder at night, sometimes you sit up, you talk to your wife, we do, and say, what's this country going to be like for them in 20 or 30 years? Doesn't that cross your mind often?
Yeah, so there's two things in the book that touch me, everything. You know, when you write a book, it's an odd experience because you put so much into it. But I ended the book with the prayer of the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, which we say in Catholic churches throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it highlights the fact that there's a spiritual element to the evil that's happening all around us. And we can't, I know we're in a secular world by and large, but we can't underestimate the forces that are at work. And by the way, I think evil forces would love to get rid of America. And with America, there's no state of Israel. And there's basically no civilization, as we can see with these tyrants in China and all over the globe. And I also start the book with a letter, and the letter's partially aimed at my kids. And I tell them that I do believe, and this is not going to sound humble, it's going to sound proud, but I believe God puts us on the earth for a reason. I think God wants you behind that microphone, and I'm not saying that in a haughty way. I believe it, and I believe that God put my wife and I on the earth at this time in America to fight with everything we have for the country, because what are we going to leave our kids and our grandkids? We can't leave them this. We've got to make it better, and we feel touched by the need to do this.
Well, it's a beautiful book. I'm glad you guys are doing this. Now, when I write my books, I'll finish a chapter, and I'll have my wife read it. Just to say, am I making any sense here? Are you able to? Did you do that, too?
It's worse than that. Yes, she wrote the foreword, and then I finally got Chinese Corona. I'm here in my study. I'm on the couch. I feel terrible. And and the book is due. So with me fighting Chinese Corona and my wife sitting here at the couch aside, she was just ripping into my writing left and right, and she was making it better. And I would try to fight back, but I was a little enfeebled, and I was like, you know, sweetheart, I think you're right. Just make the edits you want, and let's get this baby done.
Mm-hmm. You know,
understand.
I do understand, because I'll finish a chapter, and you know, this is a very... it's almost solemn, the event. In other words, you're by yourself. You're doing this thing. You can't rely on 100 other people. You just do it. And you
write it yourself.
You do it yourself. And so we do, but, you know, a lot of people don't. But we do, and you do. And then you need to bounce it off somebody. So you have to bounce it off somebody you really trust. And so I'll be honest with you, Matt. When I gave mine, when I was finished, I gave it to my wife. She'd read it before. It's a heavy book. And she said, I said, honey, I don't know what this book's going to do. He said, it's going to do great. And my wife is blunt with me. If she doesn't think so, she'll say, well, I'm not sure either. But she said, it's going to do great. And that reminded me of what my father said when I gave him Liberty and Tyranny. I said, Dad, I don't know what this. He said, this is going to do great. Matt, this is going to do great. If you get out to enough places on enough platforms. And let me give you some friendly advice that all authors should listen to. Don't go where the enemy is, because they're not going to let you talk about your book. They're just going to use it as an excuse to screw you over. Chris Christie went to every left-wing site and sold 2,300 books. So don't do it. Go to the people who are patriots.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's who I want to hang out with. And my co-author, Deal Hudson, I tell you, that was another advantage I have, is he is a man, a learned man of letters. And the way he excoriates these church leaders who are just bending over backwards to everything on the left, I don't think we couldn't get invited to those places you're talking about because of some of the things we said. I just think that's where America is. And you know what? Even if it's just 50% of the country we're going to get, let's get that 50%. And then we'll get 51. And then we'll get 52. We're going to convince them that the American founding is a good thing for their lives.
Just remember the American Revolution. We had about one-third of the country that supported it, and that was more than enough. Matt, great book, The Desecrators, Defeating the Cancel Culture Mob and Reclaiming One Nation Under God. Folks, you're going to love this book. The timing is perfect, and you're going to learn a lot, and I hope you'll embrace it. Just go into Amazon.com. It'll show up tomorrow morning when the book is immediately released. And we want to beat a lot of these other creepy books, too, up there on Amazon, too. So, Matt, my best to your wife. We'll see you in a few weeks, and God bless you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Mark, and we'll see you at CPAC.
See you there. Folks, really, this is a great book. I hope you'll jump in and get it. If you look at the book list right now, it's a little thin. No, it's a lot thin. This should be the number one book next week. It really should. And I think you're going to... I love the title, The Desecrators. If I had thought of that, that would have been the name of one of my chapters. But The Desecrators, not woke. Woke is too passive, don't you think, Mr. Badu? Oh, he's woke. No, he's a desecrator. I mean, there's other things you can say, but they would be, you know, cuss words. That's not good. People like to talk about the Constitution, especially on the left, where they hate the people who wrote it. They hate the people who adopted it. They hate the people who uphold it, you know, originalists. But they pretend to support it when they think it can help them. Otherwise, they just assume shred it. They'd much rather be modern-day Canada, you see. They have nothing but great respect for Trudeau, who is a Marxist pig. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Let's go to John in Canada. He wants us to be a little bit more focused on this boycott. He's a trucker, XM Satellite, and he's certainly worth listening to and getting his opinion. John, go right ahead, my friend.
Hey, good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. Thank you.
Good. Nice to be here. So your boycott on Canada, I don't agree with that. If you want to boycott something, boycott the province of Ontario and the city of Ottawa.
You got it. Now, what do we boycott exactly? What do they make in these? It's like Washington. They don't make a damn thing.
Look, your tourist dollars are huge in this country.
Okay.
Huge. You want to come visit? Come visit out west. All those truckers that were there that are getting penalized and everybody else in the country that has been shut down because of this dictator that we have in power right now. I have no love for him. I have no love for his father. He crushed the oil industry in this country many, many years ago. He mm-hmm. did the same thing back then when the Indians uprose in Quebec. He declared martial law. He's just like his dad. But all you're doing by not coming... Come out west. Come out to the beautiful Rocky Mountains. Come out to the Pacific Ocean. Come on out to the prairies. There's lots to see
so
here.
So you're saying anywhere but Ottawa, Ontario.
Or Ontario, the province itself. You know?
All right, I'm with you. All right, America, that's the province of Ontario and the city of Ottawa. Don't spend your tourist dollars there. Don't even waste your time. Good call, John. We appreciate it. Be safe, my friend.
Thanks, brother. Have a good one.
God bless. You too. David, Long Beach, California, 870 The Answer, the great KRLA. Go!
Yes, sir, go. I'm a lucky guy that I was at the 10 years at Berkeley that they threw out the communists during the 50s, right about when you were born. I got into a history seminar, not even a history major, and we got to study the Great War and the interwar period, and it was called the Foreign Policy of Europe. And one of the things that I had to write the final on was 3-hour final on Soviet foreign policy from inception of the October Revolution to the then present, which was 1959 or 60. And one of the interesting things is there was only one war in Europe between the wars, and it started approximately 1 year after Versailles when they had created independent Poland after 100 years of no Poland, and Trotsky took the Red Army coming off the the Civil War against the white Russians and wheeled and went into Poland, got his butt kicked. And Stalin remembered it. And if you remember the Katyn Forest massacre, it just came up, you know, last couple of years when they had that plane crash going out there. That those were all Polish officers killed by Stalin based on that 1920 war. And so you don't hear anything coming out of Putin about going back and taking back Poland. And he also doesn't mention another war they lost against small Helsinki, Finland, the 39 Winter War. So everything else, he's staying away from those two, at least verbally.
Yeah, but they're all worried because they know that Ukraine is a buffer zone for them. That's the way they view it. And if the United States responds weakly and then China hits Taiwan, then all hell's going to break loose. I'm very concerned about this. So all these so-called, these what I call them is neo-appeasers, they don't understand what they're doing. They don't even understand what they're saying. They're so stupid. They don't understand history. Excellent call, David. I appreciate your call. We'll get to more calls tomorrow. How about that? Jimmy, Robert, Erica, etc. Excuse me, et al. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel. And we salute all our truckers and you. You great Americans and our fellow patriot Canadians. See you tomorrow. God bless.